Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. Many thanks, member supporters. I'm Gary Hickling. This program features an encore presentation of great songs, as Singing and Other Sins was then known, that celebrates Goethe's birthday and acts as a memorial tribute to the Manoa professor who so loved Goethe's words, William Scherer. Bill often joined me to celebrate Goethe's birthday, and you'll hear him again after my Great Songs introduction. This program of Great Songs is our regular Goethe birthday special, for which University of Hawaii Manoa Professor William Scherer regularly joined to elucidate the connection between word and music, the core of art song. Bill passed away on January 1st, 2002. This is a memorial tribute to the joy of music, Goethe, and love that was central to Bill Scherer's nature. In keeping with his light-hearted nature, let's hear a Goethe poem set by Robert Schumann, "Don't Sing in Sad Tones."
Singet nicht in Trauertönen von der Einsamkeit der Nacht. Nein, sie ist ohne Schönen zu Geselligkeit gemacht. Könnt ihr euch des Tages freuen, der nur Freuden unterbricht? Ihr wisst, sich zu zerstreuen, zu was anderem taugt ihr nicht. Aber wenn in nächter Stunde süßer Lampe Dämmung fließt und vom Mond zum nahen Munde Scherz und Liebe sich ergießt, wenn der raschelose Knabe, der sonst wild und feurig eilt, oft bei einer kleinen Gabe unter leichten Spielen weint, wenn die Nachtigall verliebt, liebevoll ein Liedchen singt, das gefangen und betrübten nur wie Ach und Wehe klingt. Dem Herzensfrieden horchet ihr der Glocke Licht, die mit 12 bedächten Schlägen und Sicherheit verspricht. Dann an dem langen Tage merket ihr es, liebe Brust, jeder Tag hat seine Plage und die Nacht hat ihre Lust. Jeder Tag hat seine Plage und die Nacht hat ihre Lust, und die Nacht hat ihre Lust.
The tenor was Christophe Bregardien with Michael Gaze, the pianist, in a song about the joys of love. Words of Goethe, music of Robert Schumann. Now one of Goethe's best-known poems and a favorite of Dr. Scherer, Wanderers Nachtlied. Over all hilltops is peace. In a setting by Karl Loewe, a contemporary of Schubert.
In allen Wind.
Over all the hilltops is peace. In all the trees you feel hardly a breath of wind. The birds fall silent in the woods. Only wait, soon you too will be at rest. My wish for you, Bill. We heard that Goethe poem set by Loewe in a recording by Christoph Bregardien with Michael Gies. I'll give more information on Bill Scherer later in the program, but let's go right now to a Goethe special on great songs, 1992. Bill, what would we like to do next for the listening audience?
Well, what about Rastlose Liebe, Restless Love? In some ways, a few of the poems from the early creative period of Goethe, from his Strasbourg period, have this restlessness. There, of course, also the possibility of hearing Schubert and also the version by Zelter, the contemporary of Goethe, whom Goethe admired so highly.
Why did Goethe admire Zelter so much?
Well, they did have a strong bond of friendship. It's clear that Goethe wanted the songs, the Lieder, and the Gesänge to be set to music. Mm-hmm. But the problem for Goethe was to find the right composer. There was a younger man, even in his Leipzig years, when Goethe was still very young, he was only 16 when he went to Leipzig, the composer was Breitkopf, mm-hmm. and he was the son of the great publisher. And then later Reichert also set quite a lot of Goethe the music, but Zelter particularly, he felt, did what the composer should do, according to the poet's wishes, namely that the accompaniment would be a full totality of complement and not an aria. Zelter was a song composer, mm-hmm. and by song, Goethe meant simplicity, spontaneity, mm-hmm. naturalness. Mm-hmm. And so we cannot have the music dominating. So there's a world of difference, the classical world, if you wish, from the romantic world.
I see. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And Goethe went on record with the comment, das Klassische ist das Gesunde, das Romantische ist das Krankhafte. In other words, the classical world, the world of balance and harmony and nobility of soul, is the health-giving world. While romanticism for Goethe, bear in mind, he partook in that epoch in a great way. Think of Werther and think of his Faust, for instance. But the romantic is the dangerous night side of life and creative expression, the sick side, das Krankhafte.
We have to hear a Zelter version of the Rastlose Liebe. Can you read the German poetry for us?
Yes. Rastlose Liebe, dem Schnee, dem Regen, dem Wind entgegen, im Dampf der Klüfte, durch Nebeldüfte, immerzu, immerzu, ohne Rast und Ruh. Lieber durch Leiden möchte ich mich schlagen, als so viel Freuden des Lebens ertragen. Alle das Neigen von Herzen zu Herzen, ach, wie so eigen, schaffet das Schmerzen. Wie soll ich fliehen, wälderwärts ziehen, alles vergebens, Krone des Lebens, Glück ohne Ruh, Liebe, bist du.
Restless love, into the snow and the rain and the wind, in misty hollows, through cloud and haze, on and on, on and on, without stopping or resting. I would rather fight my way through sorrows than endure so many of life's joys. All this attraction of heart to heart, oh, what special anguish it brings! How shall I escape? Shall I flee into the woods? All in vain. O love, you are life's crowning joy, a joy with no rest.
Dem Schnee, dem Regen, dem Wind entgegen, im Dampf der Klüfte, durch Nebeldüfte, immerzu, ohne Rast und Ruh, ohne Rast und Ruh. Liebe durch Leiden, möchte ich mich schlagen,
als so viel Freuden des Lebens ertragen, als so viel Freuden des Lebens ertragen. Alle das Neigen von Herzen zu Herzen, ach, wie so heilgen schaffe das Schmerzen, ach, wie so heilgen schaffe das Schmerzen. Wie soll ich fliehen, Wälder ziehen, wie soll ich wie soll ich fliehen? Alles vergebens, Krone des Lebens, Glück und Ruhe, Liebe, Liebe, Liebe bist du. Alles vergebens, Krone des Lebens, Glück und Ruhe, Liebe, Liebe, Liebe bist du.
Really exciting performance by Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau with the forte pianist Aribert Reimann. In other words, not a regular piano like we're used to hearing today, but a piano more of the time of Zelter when he wrote this. I should give you Zelter's years. They were 1758 to 1832. But we do have another version of this that is actually better known, if maybe not so pleasing to Goethe. That is one by Schubert. Once again, Rastlose Liebe, Restless Love, this time with Hermann Prey.
Im Schnee, im Regen, im Wind entgegen, im Dampf der Klüfte durch Nebel düfte, immer zu, ohne Rast und Ruhe. Lieber durch Leiden wollt ich mich schlagen, als zu viel Freuden des Lebens ertragen. Alle das Neigen von Herzen zu Herzen, ach, wie so eigen schaffe das Schmerzen. Wie soll ich fliehen, Wälder erziehen, alles, alles vergebens. Krone des Lebens, Glück und Ruhe, Liebe bist du, Liebe bist du. Glück und Ruhe, Liebe bist du, Krone des Lebens, Glück und Ruhe, Liebe bist du, oh Liebe bist du, oh Liebe, Liebe bist du.
Karl Engel doing his best at the piano with the Schubert version of Rastlose Liebe, poetry by Goethe, of course, Hermann Prey, the wonderful, vibrant, vital, passionate baritone.
He brings out that inner drama that Goethe's speaking of there, or perhaps has even no time to describe, because it's just a flowing out of hopeless, almost hopeless situation of restlessness, however blissful this restlessness is, caused by love. Now, with the Zelter, the setting, it's a little different, isn't it? The first one, this three-mode phenomenon of love. Of course, it's been a while now since we've heard it. We've heard the Schubert one that is this overbearing and romantic. Mm-hmm. But the first one does have a beauty in the balance between the piano and the voice.
Just pause here and tell us some more of just the background of Goethe for people who aren't so familiar with his life.
It might be worth mentioning that Goethe wrote one of the greatest statements about the modern dilemma in his Faust. And had he only written Faust, I think he would still be a name who would be mentioned with Homer, as he is, with Tolstoy, with Shakespeare. On the other hand, had he not written Faust and had written only these lyrics or any number of his works, and novels, even his letters, correspondences, so fascinating, the diaries, in all 143 volumes to comprise all of his works.
Wow.
16 of them were diaries, 14 were scientific writings. Mm-hmm. Very few people are aware of this. In fact, Goethe even was very proud of his work in the sciences, mm-hmm. although many dispute his theory, which is different from Newton's, involving the theory of color. And furthermore, the studies that Goethe did of the metamorphosis of plants are terribly interesting, and recent years have been actually more accepted by mm-hmm. discerning eyes. Of course, 63 of the 143 volumes were poetic works.
Wow.
And thousands, literally thousands of poems. But the letters are impressive, too. They were pieces of lyricism as well. Yeah. Take, for instance, the 1,700 letters we have intact that he wrote to Frau von Stein alone.
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes. It's really something. 50 other volumes of letters go with that, including the correspondence of Schiller and Goethe. Now, letter writing was quite a different thing than what we have of it today, isn't it? I mean, today, what they wrote in these letters is just extraordinary. One can read them for enjoyment, but also for an education. One of the great characteristics of Goethe that is mentioned often is his struggle, a battle, to balance himself, to come to terms with polarities that were mm-hmm. built within him, warring within himself with all of his experiential content to then find a balance to maintain a development toward the higher human being that was a seed within him and is, in fact, in all of us. Before we go to the classical era, the poem Prometheus, and the one Ganymede. They're from the same time, around 1771, 72, 73. And each one offers one of the two extremes that lived so vibrantly in Goethe's being.
Let's begin with the Prometheus, then, mm-hmm. the Prometheus.
This is the side of Goethe that is the genius, the titan, the egocentric, in a moment of ecstatic awareness of his greatness, and in fact he was very aware that he was Goethe, and had hardly any equal. This cult of the genius, the cult of the genie, and of creativity, poetry as song, is very I-centered, ich-bezogen. And so the last line of this poem, which in a way belittles Zeus and the gods as small fries next to the human being who can achieve, can create, like a god, his children, his poems. Yeah. So at the end of this poem comes this tremendous arrogance, one might say, but rhetorical arrogance. Hier sitz ich, forme Menschen nach meinem Bilde, ein Geschlecht, das mir gleich sei, zu leiden, zu weinen, zu genießen und zu freuen sich und dein nicht zu achten wie ich. And essentially, it's here I sit, making men to my own image, a race that shall resemble me, a race that shall suffer and weep and know joy and delight and be heedless of you, as I am.
Let's hear the Schubert version first of Prometheus, or Prometheus, with Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau, accompanied by Gerald Moore, in a live performance in the Mozarteum in Salzburg in 1957.
Deinen Himmel, Zeus, mit Wolken Dunst. Und über dem Knaben gleich erdisteln töpft. Dann eiche dich und Berge schön, musst mir meine Erde doch lassen stehen. Und eine Hütte, die du nicht gebaut, und meinen Hirt, um dessen Glut du mich beneidest. Ich kenne
nichts Ärmeres unter der Sonne als euch, Götter! Ihr nährt kümmerlich vor Opfersteuer und Gebiets auch eure Majestät und darbtet, wer nicht Kinder und Bettler hoffnungsvolle Toren. Da ich ein Kind war, nicht wusste, wo aus noch ein, kehrt ich mein verirrtes Auge zur Sonne, als wenn drübe wär ein Ohr zu hören meine Klage. Ein Herz wie meins sich des Bedrängten zu erbarmen. Wer half mir wieder der Titanen Übermut? Wer rettete vom Tode mich, von Sklaverei? Hast du nicht alles selbst vollendet, heilig glühend Herz? Und glühtest jung und gut, betrogen, Rettungsdank im Schlafenden da droben. Ich dich ehren, wofür hast du die Schmerzen gelindert jedes Beladenen? Ich dich ehren, wofür hast du die Tränen gestillet jedes Geängsteten? Hat nicht mich zum Manne geschmiedet die allmächtige Zeit und das ewige Schicksal? Meine Herren und deine. Du etwa, ich sollte das Leben hassen, in Wüsten fliehen, weil nicht alle Blütenträume reiften. Ihr seht mich, forme Menschen nach meinem Bilde, ein Geschlecht, das mir gleich sei, zu leiden, zu weinen, zu genießen und zu freuen sich und dein nicht zu achten. Dein nicht zu achten, wie ich.
Prometheus in Schubert's setting with Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau accompanied by Gerald Moore. Let's hear that same great poem by Goethe set by another wonderful art song composer, this Hugo Wolf. He set very few of his songs for orchestra, but after writing this for piano, he felt that it did demand the greater strength that an orchestra would give it. And we have that in a 1932 performance with Friedrich Schorr, the London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Robert Hager.
Fleisch, der Distel köpft. Enttäusche dich und berge schön.
Hat nicht mich schon lange geschmiedet.
classic 1931 recording of Wolff's setting of Goethe's Prometheus, with Friedrich Schorr and the London Symphony, conducted by Robert Heger. You're hearing excerpts from a 1992 broadcast of Great Songs celebrating Goethe's birthday with my co-host William Scherer, who died on the 1st of January 2002. On this program, I wish to thank Bill for his years of help with these Great Songs programs, with this memorial. During his more than 30 years teaching the German language and literature at the University of Hawaii Manoa, he often illustrated his subject with Lieder and opera, and thus opened the classical vocal world to many students. For more than 15 years, Bill ran the Opera Guild of Hawaii Kai, inviting guests from all over Oahu to his home to share his love of opera and the friends and good food that went along with these meetings. Let's now return to the Goethe special on Great Songs from 1992, Dr. William Scherer, my co-host. He begins by speaking of the Goethe poem Prometheus, which we just heard set by Schubert and Wolff.
This is one aspect of Goethe's personality or inner creative life, namely the irreverent, the bold, the self-affirming masculine principle, and clearly also critical of the Father God, critical of nature. After all, he's a man on earth, and he has a following, and he can create, and he shall create out of his own inspirations. But the other side, and really in all fairness to one of the greatest lyric poets of all time, perhaps the slightly stronger side of Goethe is this receptivity, reciprocal capacity that he had, a feminine principle actually, that comes through so much in the lyric poetry above all. And that is expressed in a poem from the very same time, mythologically again, a different type of mood, and that poem is the Ganymede, beloved of the gods. It was extremely ecstatic and passionate and erotic. Goethe would wish these two poems would be experienced, one following the other, because they represent two antagonisms in his being, in perhaps every human being. One who would command, one who would lead forth, one who would deny. The other would wish to be reverent, to see, as no others see, the power of nature, to be at rest, as he says then, in the lap of the Father God.
Wie im Morgenglanze du rings mich anglühst, Frühling geliebter, mit tausendfacher Liebeswonne sich an mein Herze drängt deiner ewigen Wärme, heilig Gefühl, unendliche Schöne. Dass ich dich fassen möchte in diesen Arm, ach, an deinem Busen lieg ich und schmachte, und deine Blumen, dein Gras drängen sich an mein Herz. Du kühlst den brennenden Durst meines Busens, lieblicher Morgenwind. Ruf drein die Nachtigall, liebend nach mir aus dem Nebeltal. Ich komm, ich komme. Wohin? Ach, wohin? Hinauf, hinauf strebt's. Es schweben die Wolken abwärts. Die Wolken neigen sich der sehnenden Liebe. Mir, mir, in eurem Schoß aufwärts. Umfangend, umfangen. Aufwärts an deinen Busen, allliebender Vater.
Ganymede, how you glow upon me in the brightness of morning, all round me, O spring, my lover. With thousandfold rapturous love, the holy sense of your everlasting warmth presses against my heart, O infinite beauty. If only I could clasp you in my arms, O I lie at your breast, I languish, and your flowers and your grass press against my heart. You cool my bosom's burning thirst. Dear wind of morning, out of the misty valley, the nightingale calls out to me in love. I come, whither, oh whither? Upwards, upwards, I am driven. The clouds float down, the clouds descend to my love and my longing. To me, aloft, enveloped by you, embraced and embracing, aloft, to lie at your breast, all-loving Father.
We'll hear Schubert's setting of Ganymede with Gérard Souzet, accompanied by Dalton Baldwin.
Aufwärts an deinen Busen, oh,
earlier on our program, we compared the Prometheus version first, Schubert, and the version second, the Wolf, and we're doing the same thing with the opposite side of Goethe's nature in first hearing the Schubert version with Gérard Zuse, accompanied by Dalton Baldwin, and now we'll hear the Wolf version of Ganymede with Peter Schreier, accompanied by Wolfgang Sawallisch.
Hinauf, hinauf strebt's,
A wonderful performance, beautiful piece. Hugo Wolf's setting of Ganymede, sung here by tenor Peter Schreier, accompanied very beautifully at the piano by Wolfgang Sawallisch. But about this piece, you have to say that it is a wonderful combination of rapture
and reverence.
And reverence at the same time, for reverence for nature. And
Goethe often mentioned that one of the most important little lessons in life one can have is to have an Andacht, or a reverence, for the little things in life. Of course, in this case, there's a humbling, giving over awareness of being a part of something much bigger, cosmic, and this marvelous use of otherwise a love metaphor in the realm of nature.
What poem and song should come now, Bill?
The poem he called Ein Gleiches, a similar one, would be the Wanderer's Night Song number one, the first one, Der du von den Himmel bist.
Tell us something about that poem.
Yes, well, that one was written in 1776, and we're moving into a very profound middle period of Goethe's life, and ultimately he was in Weimar then, and that meant, of course, that he would stay for 58 years and die in Weimar at the age of 82 in 1832. So in 1776, he was well entrenched with great responsibilities, which the young Duke gave him, and also with a new love life, and of course one of the most extraordinary relationships of his life, and perhaps of any human being's life of this caliber and this personality. And that was the relationship with Frau von Stein, Charlotte von Stein. And this was not an easy situation. First of all, when one considers Goethe was very tempestuous, we heard what the early poetry was like,
sure,
from the Strasbourg period, from the Leipzig period. And now it was time for him to really settle down. He was 26, 27. And here he had this problem. The woman in his life at the time was a woman 7 years older than he, with 6 children, and in a little town like Weimar, quite a complicated situation.
She was still married.
She was still married. She remained married. I mean, this was not just any situation that he had faced before, because this was an intelligent woman of great culture, of refinement, and an intellectual equal. And she also had the capability of curbing some of this raw-edged passion that he had. This poem is really a prayer for peace. And Longfellow made a translation of this poem, which I think is very, very fine. Thou that from the heavens art, every pain and sorrow stillest, and the doubly wretched heart doubly with refreshment fillest, I am weary with contending. Why this rapture and unrest? Peace descending, come, oh, come into my breast. So it's an appeal to tranquility, to sweet peace, süße Friede, to take away the knotted up passion and frustration that was in this situation, this impossible relationship that had to be settled in some way in order that Goethe's soul too might find the harmony for which he always strove.
We can certainly see there a beautiful poem inspiring a beautiful setting. We heard Der du von den Himmel bist, poetry by Goethe, the music of Zelter, Carl Friedrich Zelter, sung here by Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau, accompanied by Adalbert Reimann on that same old-fashioned piano called the forte piano. Bill, tell us something about this particular version.
Well, first, I'd just like to say that it's often rather exciting for me to just ponder what Frau von Stein must have thought when she received this poem in a letter in February of 1776 in Goethe's hand. Mm-hmm. The Zelter setting has a certain simplicity to it, which is actually one of the beautiful aspects of that one. The poem itself is not so simple. In fact, it has a very, very complex German syntax that conveys, because of the delayed subject and the number of relative clauses that are thrown in front of it, which make German students go crazy, it conveys all of that bottled up, destiny-ridden problem that was in Goethe's heart. And that was what Charlotte von Stein was providing, the possibility for that refinement. So Zelter's setting was very much appreciated by Goethe. He liked the simplicity of it. It was a song, after all, a wanderer's evening song. And when Goethe, as I mentioned earlier in the program, when he wrote a poem entitled Lied or Gesang, he did indeed expect that it would be composed, that at some time it would be set. And the settings that he favored were in the simple and yet not without elegance, but simple folk song nature.
You've been listening to Singing and Other Sins, this time a Great Songs program from 1992. My co-host was the late Dr. William Scherer, who over the years shared many German programs with me. Bill was always helpful and brought true scholarship to the broadcasts. If you have any questions or comments, you can go to hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins. There you can also find a link to many other Singing and Other Sins programs. I'm your host and producer, Gary Hickling. Aloha.
Ach, ich bin des Treibens müde. Was soll all der Schmerz?